Well, awesome. Welcome to Hoboken Grace. I was a little offended by the line of staying awake in the previous song, but either way, we'll move past that. For those of you who are with us for the first time, I just want to echo what John said earlier. We're really, really excited to have you with us this morning. And right now, we're in the middle of this conversation called Purpose. And we've been talking through this question of what on earth am I here for? And to be honest with you, the question has changed a little bit since we began the conversation, because I think when we walk into this question originally of what am I here for, we kind of come in with this idea or this presupposition that somehow God has created a plan for us, and we're looking at, okay, God, what is your plan for me? What is your plan for us? But as we began this journey, we realized that that's not really the right question to be asking. As we began this journey, we realized it's not about, okay, what is God's plan for me, but rather, what is God's plan, and how do I fit into that? You see, I don't believe that any of you are here on accident. It doesn't matter where you are, where you've been, where you've come from, where you're going. I don't believe that you're here on accident. And one of the first things that we established as we began to ask this question of what on earth am I here for is the fact that this isn't about just the small plan of you, but this is about something much, much bigger. And this isn't about what God's plan is for your life, but about what God's plan is. And the fact that you were created at a very specific point in time in this plan for a very specific reason. And so we've been working through and looking at, okay, what does that mean for me? And I promised you when we began this that it was only going to get better, and I think that you've seen that, because as we started out this question of, okay, well then what is God's plan and how do I fit into that, we saw that God's plan from the very beginning was this idea of family, that God is building a family. And so we saw in Ephesians 1:5, it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And we talked about the fact that our primary purpose, as difficult as it is for us to understand and for us to grab a hold of at times, is not an active purpose, but actually a passive purpose, that you were created to receive something first as opposed to do something, and that is that you were created to be loved. And again, no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, you were created to be loved. God is building a family. And then we've been looking from that point at, okay, how do we respond to that? Because the rest of how we fit into this plan has to do with how we respond to the fact that we're loved. How we respond to the fact that he's done so much for us. And so for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at that response and looking at how we love God's family. We're created to love his family, and looking at how, if we're going to be successful in that, then the image that we're pursuing has to change. And it can no longer be that we're pursuing this image of the successful CEO, or we're pursuing this image of the relationship that we're pursuing, but that we're beginning to become like Christ. And that the sole focus of our lives is that we would be like Christ. That we would love the way that he loves, that we would live the way that he lived, with the joy, without the worry, with all those things that we talked about last week, that we celebrate about who God is in Jesus Christ. And today what I want to do is I want to continue to flush out what it means to love the way that Jesus Christ loved, what it means to become like Jesus Christ, what it means to respond to the fact that we've been loved. And I think if you could sum up this idea of becoming like Jesus Christ into one word, it would be this word servant. It's something that we talked about both with the way that he loved and then this image last week. So we looked at this passage a couple weeks ago in Philippians chapter 2 where it says this. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Service. I think if you could sum up what it means to be like Jesus Christ into one word, it would be this idea of service. And we talked about what that means in love and what it means to love the way that Jesus Christ loved, to love sacrificially, to love unconditionally. But today I want to get a little bit more practical, and I want you to understand some things about how you've been created and this idea of service that I think will help you to be able to be successful as you begin to pursue this in your life. And if you have your program with you today, then inside there's some notes cards, and you can jot these things down, and I hope that you'll take that out and jot these things down, because there are three things that I think are crucial for you to understand about this idea of service if you're going to be able to live this to the fullest. And if you're going to be able to begin to put this into practice and experience your place inside of this plan that God has for you. The first thing that you need to understand about service, if you're going to be successful in this, is that you don't serve alone. I think this is so important. And inside the scriptures, we find this over and over and over and over again. And when the body talks to us, or when the scriptures talk to us about this idea of service, there's one picture that it uses countless times. It's this picture of a body. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. It says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body." And you just see him saying over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, one body. And as you look at this idea of, okay, how do I become like Jesus Christ? How do I begin to serve the way that Jesus Christ served? How do I, as the song said earlier, move from a life that's just about me to a life that's about the people and the world around me? I think it's going to be crucial for you to understand that you don't serve alone. You were never created to serve alone. I think this is important for a couple different reasons. Number one, it's important because your effectiveness will be determined by your connectedness. And so whatever it is that you're trying to do, however it is that you're trying to serve, your effectiveness is going to be determined by your connectedness. And as 1 Corinthians begins to flush out this picture of what it means to serve and what it means to be a part of this body, it talks about how we're interconnected and how we're dependent upon one another, and how the hand has nothing to be able to offer if it's not attached to the arm. The same thing is true with you. And as we look at this idea of, okay, how do I begin to live out this purpose for which I've been created? And that's the dream of this conversation, right? The dream of this conversation goes back to this passage in Acts chapter 13 when it says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." That's the dream for us in this conversation, that we would one day be able to get to that point. If we're going to get to that point, you have to understand that in this idea of service, you don't serve alone. And that your ability to be able to love the people around you is not just based upon your determination and your experience of God. Your ability to love and serve the people around you is determined by your connectedness to the people inside this room. And they're the ones who are going to be able to give you strength in the moments when you don't feel like it. Because let's be honest, when it comes to this idea of becoming a servant, when it comes to this idea of living our lives to serve and love the people around us, there are going to be days when we're just not going to want to get up. There are going to be days when we're going to need someone to pick us up. And as you look at what God is calling you into in this idea of becoming a servant, loving the way that Jesus Christ is loved, becoming like Jesus Christ, your effectiveness is going to be directly related to your connectedness. The other thing that you need to understand is that you don't carry this alone. When you begin to walk down this path, all of a sudden at times there are going to be moments in your life where it's going to seem like it's bigger than you are, because it is. And next week, we're going to talk about the mission that God has for us inside this plan. And the truth is, the mission is too big for any one of us. But when you understand that you're a part of a body, that you don't serve alone, then you realize, I don't have to carry this alone. And for some of you, you're carrying it alone. I know this because I have conversations with people all the time about ways in which they're trying to love the people around them, about family members who don't yet know Christ or friends who don't yet know Christ, and they're carrying the weight of this entirely alone, because when I have a conversation with them about it, I ask them, well, you know, all right, is your dinner group praying for you with you about this person? Well, no, I haven't really shared it with them. You can't do this alone. This is one of the reasons why here at Hoboken Grace, no matter where you serve, no matter what capacity in which you serve, we want to make sure that you never, ever serve alone. Because we want you to understand that whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, whatever it is in however way that you're trying to serve, that you don't have to carry it alone. And if we're going to live out this purpose for which God has created us, we have to understand, okay, we don't serve alone. Number two, you have to understand that you have been specifically equipped to serve as part of this body. 1 Corinthians 12:7-9 says this. It says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith. And then he begins to go through this list of the gifts that he's given. And though I know many of you don't believe this, the truth is that you have been specifically equipped to be able to serve at this point in time and this place with a very specific gift. And just as you are not here on accident, when we talked about God's plan, just as you are not here on accident to be loved, you are not here on accident when it comes to this idea of service. And you have been given a gift that no one else inside of this body has, to be able to serve in a way that no one else inside this body can. And as we look at the mission that we have ahead of us, the scriptures tell you that you have a spiritual gift and a spiritual power to be able to serve inside of this community in a way that I can't. And one of the reasons why our effectiveness is determined by our connectedness is because of the fact that each of us is gifted specifically in different ways to be able to serve and minister inside of this church and inside of this city. I thought Irwin McManus said it the best when he said that so many of you believe that you're replaceable, that you're expendable. But the truth is that you're essential. You see, in this mission that God has, in this plan that God has, he has put you in this place for a very specific reason. You've been gifted in a way that the people around you haven't been gifted. And our ability to be able to love one another, our ability to be able to love this city is based upon you living out that gift. And you stepping into that place and into that role. Number three, the mission of the family depends upon your participation. I think when it comes up here, it's going to say Acts. Go ahead and jump to the next slide. Yeah, that's not correct. That would be 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians Chapter 12, verse 15 through 20 says this. It says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to become a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Again, in your life, the lie that comes in is that you're expendable. But the truth is, you're essential. And as you look at what he's walking us through in 1 Corinthians, he's saying, listen, if all of us were just speakers, if all of us were just, but the truth is it takes every single one of us. One of the things I share over and over and over and over and over again at Backstage Pass is this idea that for most people, when they walk into church, they make the decision of whether or not they're going to come back to church within the first 5 minutes of the time that they arrive. That means I can only mess it up. Right? That means I can only change what has already been established. I really have very little to do with whether or not someone comes back here to Hoboken Grace. And so I tell them, one of the things that we see very clearly in that is that the people who greet here on Sunday morning are essential. And I know for some of you, you serve on that team and you think, well, you know, I'm just serving. It's just kind of a small thing that I do as part of this body. No, it's not. It's essential. It was so awesome a couple weeks ago when we heard the story and Christina shared her story up here on the stage. And if you weren't here to see it, it's awesome. It's on our stories blog. You can check it out there. But she's telling this story. And as she's telling the story of how she came to know Christ, she shared with us that she actually came to know Christ by listening to the podcast from her brother's church and the podcast from here at Hoboken Grace. And afterwards, I went back and I talked to Mark and I said, Mark, you've got to make sure that your team sees this video because they have to understand that this technical team, while they sit back there at this table and they think that, well, you know, I'm just doing this small part. No, it's not a small part. Every single piece is crucial. And if we're going to live out this idea of service, if you're going to experience this purpose for which you've been created, this place inside this plan, you have to stop looking at yourself as expendable and you have to begin to look at this idea of service in your life as essential, to understand that you are essential to this body, that we need each other. And in this mission that we have of loving and serving our community, we need you. To be a part of this body. And you say, well, then how do I get started? What do I need to do? What does that look like? Because the truth is, for many of you, you already are serving. Right now here at Hoboken Grace, inside of our body, I believe last week the number was 168 people who were involved in service in some way, shape, or form. That means right about half of us currently are involved in ministry in some way, shape, or form. And so for those of you who are here in that place and you've begun to serve, I hope that today is just going to be an encouragement to you that man, listen, you are living it out and you are not expendable, that you are essential and that this is important what you do. But then for some of you, you're here and you're coming in week after week and you're experiencing the fact that people love you and you're experiencing the fact that people are serving you, but it's time for the tables to turn. And it's time for you to step out of just simply being an observer here at Hoboken Grace and for you to become a part of the body here at Hoboken Grace. It's time for you to begin to look at it and say, okay, well, how has God gifted me? How can I begin to serve? How can I begin to move past a world that's just about me to a world that's filled with this family? I want to give you three steps today. The first one is get started. It doesn't matter where you get started. Just get started. Find something. Don't try to find the thing that fits you the best. Just find something. Today inside your program, there's a little card that's in there. It lists all the different ways that you can get involved. If you don't see a way that you can get involved and you're like, man, I really love to do something else and I've seen that it's been a need here at Hoboken Grace, but I haven't been able to really talk to anyone about that, just write that on the side of the card. But find something. Just get started. And then from there, the second thing that I want to advise you is to begin to consult those around you who are growing in service. As you get involved in that team, the first team that you join may not be exactly where you're supposed to be. It may not be what fits you the best. We've had great greeters here at Hoboken Grace, and then we've had bad greeters here at Hoboken Grace. I would be one of the bad ones. All right, I've shared this with you before. I'm super awkward in initial conversations, and when we first started Hoboken Grace, I would stand back there by the door and greet people as they walked in until finally my wife one day said, "Listen, just go in the back because you're not helping us at all." That is a real conversation that actually took place. And the truth is, when you first get plugged in, it may not be exactly where you fit, and that's okay. And so you begin to talk to your team leader, and you begin to talk to others who are involved in service and say, this just doesn't really feel like a fit to me. And all of a sudden, they begin to get to know you, and you begin to get to know them, and we begin to find out where you fit. Because the question that we're always answering is, okay, how has God created you, and how do you fit into this body? Get started. Begin to have these conversations with the people around you. Number three, develop your talents and skills. And this goes back to those of you who are currently serving inside of Hoboken Grace. Because what can happen is that you'll get plugged into a team and you'll begin to serve and you just kind of begin to fall into the flow of things. But that's not what this is about. One of the most beautiful passages about this idea of being a part of the body is found in Romans chapter 12. It says this, it says, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well," exactly what he's been talking about in Corinthians. "So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them." And the thing I love about this passage is he's not just talking about the gift that you've been given, but he's saying, listen, don't just take it and use it. Do it with everything that you have. Do it well. And so he says, if your gift is serving, serve well. If your gift is teaching, teach well. If your gift is leadership, lead well. Now, for some of you, you've gotten into this mode of service and you just kind of, okay, well, I'm doing what I need to do. I want to encourage you to begin to move past that, to begin to look at this passage and say, okay, if I'm going to be a greeter, how can I possibly be the best greeter I could ever be? What can I learn to be able to help me engage people in such a way that they feel at home in a better way? If you're involved with the kids, how can I improve my ability to be able to communicate this message that God loves them to these little ones? I mean, it goes as far as setting up chairs. I remember, we used to just set up chairs, and then we had one guy come in, his name's Brad, and all of a sudden he started working with our setup team, and they started looking at all these different things, and they started bringing me these different numbers of how far chairs need to be apart in order for people to be able to feel comfortable, and I'm like, what? People think about this? But it was someone who decided not just to serve, but to serve well. So I encourage you, as you begin to get plugged in, it's not just about, okay, how do I check this off a box? This is about loving people. I mean, the whole point of that passage in Romans 12 is don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. How can I do this to the best of my ability? How can I grow in living out my place inside this plan? And so number four, serve well. Give it everything that you have. You see, you were created to become like Christ. You were created to be loved. And I've said this every week, and I'll say it again this week. If you're not taking time throughout your week to be loved by God, then the truth is this conversation about service is going to be meaningless. The truth is this conversation about service is a conversation that we'll be able to have for a week or two, and then you're going to be burnt out because you're not being poured into. This whole thing begins with being loved. And then as I begin to be loved by my God who created me at this point in time, in this moment, in this place, to be a part of his family, then I begin to move into the lives of the people around me and I begin to love. I begin to love unconditionally, sacrificially. I begin to look at the gifts that God's given me, the talents and abilities that I have, and I realize that they're not just about me. They're about this family. They're about this city. They're about the world around us. And I move from a world that's just population me to a world that is growing more and more and more full. You've been created at this point in this time with specific gifts and specific abilities to be able to serve the world around you. Serve well. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, Father, I thank you that we don't do this alone. When we look at this mission that you've given us to love our city, when we look at this mission that you've given us to introduce you to the world around us, I thank you that we don't do that alone. This isn't an individual mission, but this is a mission that we do together as a body. And Father, I thank you for those who are in front of me today and how you've gifted them. And I pray that as they walk out of here, they would walk out of here with an increased both an increased burden for the people around them, but also an increased confidence in that they have been gifted by you. That they would understand that they're not expendable, but that they are essential. And Father, I pray that you'd continue to push us and continue to teach us what it means to serve well. To live out this passage in Romans, to live our lives as an act of worship by finding that gift that you've given us and using it to its fullest potential. In Jesus' name, amen.